Mark chapter 10 in your Bibles this morning. Mark chapter 10, I want to read just three verses from verse 6 through 9 of Mark chapter 10. Jesus is dealing with the people questioning him about Moses' law and how Moses allowed divorcement. And they questioned Jesus about it. Verse 6, he said, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain, or two, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Let us pray. Father, we look into your word this morning. I ask that you'll guide and direct my words. Help me to be a help to your people. Feed us through the word, Lord. Strengthen us in our homes and our marriages and our love for one another and in our desire to see others come to know Christ so they have the same hope that we have and can share in becoming a part of the family of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd receive our praise and our thanks this morning for all good things. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Also want to welcome those that are watching on live streaming. Several families are in our prayers daily who are staying at home because of health and needs. So please continue to remember them and read through your bulletin and pray for those folks, especially who are going through cancer treatments. Paul Sprague, Daryl Barentine, Carolyn Eliason, Steve Nickel, I'm sure I'm missing some, but I pray daily for those with cancer especially. And Manny's got a big test coming up next week. Saturday, is it? Next Saturday. And he needs to do real well on it, so please pray for him as he's studying and preparing. And I pray regularly for Gomathy and for Joyce and for Mercy, but she's in India right now, and Samuel and his family are over there for a couple for a month, 2 weeks with her family and 2 weeks with his family. And he did get the appointment to meet with the embassy to get his paperwork for his visa to be renewed. And Hemachandra is added to my list now with his cholesterol. I had high cholesterol about 20 years ago. I had it tested; it was 325. And they said, "You better get that down." So they put me on some medicine, and I got it down to under 200. But then I had two arteries blocked some years later. And they drilled one of them out, took 3.5 hours, did angioplasty on the other one, put two stents in. They put me on cholesterol medicine as generic of Lipitor, and it's 80 milligrams a day. So when I went back to the VA and had my cholesterol checked, it was 109. And I said, "Look, this is down like this. Can I get off some of this medicine?" They said, "Absolutely not. As long as you can keep your bad cholesterol under 60, then it's as if you don't have coronary artery disease. But when that bad cholesterol gets up, that's what causes blockages and all that sort of thing." So blessed I have not had side effects from taking that much medicine, none I know of. And it works out okay for me, and it keeps my cholesterol down. So my cholesterol is great, and it's not because I eat right. Hemachandra, I eat eggs over medium and mop up the yellow stuff with toast, you know. And I don't eat them that often, but I don't eat right. But by God's grace, I'm still going. I went to the urologist Friday. I thought I had my little baggie full of stones, you know. I was going to go in there and brag about that tea I drank and you know, all that. And he said, "That's great." He said, "If it works, great. But," he said, "it's not FDA approved. I can't, you know, recommend it to anybody." And he said, "There's some question whether or not it works, you know, as well for everybody as it did for you." I said, "Well, I understand that." And he said, "But you still got stones." The big one I had, it was 12 millimeters, is not half the size, but it is much smaller than it was before. It's had pieces break off. It's more circular now than it was. And I may still have one in my left kidney that was very small. And but I passed about 30 pieces of kidney stones after just 4 days of drinking that tea. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back and start drinking it every day. And my mind works weird now that I'm 72 years old. I told my wife, I said, just get me one more pack of 50 and that'll carry me through the year. And she said, it's not once a week, Jim, it's every day. So that's 365 packages of tea I need, not 52. So it's ordered, and I'm going to drink a glass of that every night, see if I can get rid of the rest of these things before I have another kidney stone attack. Welcome to everyone here, especially those of you that are visiting or new. We're so glad to have you, and we thank God for you, and we want to be a help and a ministry to you as if it was the Lord here speaking to you today. We want to help you with God's word. And for sure, if you're not saved, we will have an invitation when I close and invite you to come and let us take you privately with the Bible and show you how to be saved and get baptized and become a member of the church and walk with the Lord. God is able. Mark 10, we looked at this about marriage. I've been bringing a series on marriage and home and family. Our nation, we've just gone through a celebration of July the 4th, and our nation is strengthened by the families who make it up, who are moral and law-abiding and follow the things of God. It is our relationship with the Lord that gives us the strength to have the kind of nation that we have in this day. Now, there are many people that live here that do not follow what we do in the Word of God. And that's their sad life, but we'd like to help them come to know the Lord. The Bible is an instruction book for us to live by. If we study the Scriptures, we learn how to live as a Christian. That's the best thing that can happen for patriotism and for a nation, is if we live by the Word of God. Now, many don't know what God has to say about marriage and the home and the family and living the Christian life. And then, sadly, some know, but they don't do what the Bible says about how we are to live and obey. First of all, outside our relationship with God, marriage is our most important relationship. It is the longest lasting of our relationships. Marriage is ordained of God, and it will be the longest relationship you have. Why do I say that? Well, we love our children. We have four of them. But when girls get about 16, their interest of loving their daddies turns to loving some old ugly boy with pimples on his face and that sort of thing. They forget all about daddy, you know. And they get married, they leave home, they go to college, or they go into a career, or they go into marriage, and they move away, and they just don't have the closeness that you had while they were growing up as children. But you and the wife are still there together. Joy and I have been married for 53 years. We have four children, 14 grandchildren. One of them is great-grandchild. And people change. People come and go. Friends we meet. I've lost touch with the vast majority of people I went to high school with. My graduating class was 560-something. Over 10% of them have died. And we have a reunion, you know, periodically, and I see them then, and we renew our friendships, but we don't see them usually all year long. So we've lost touch. Joy and I have buried all of our parents and grandparents and that sort of thing. A husband and a wife take a vow to be together until death. You don't take that vow to have your kids till death. You don't take that vow with your mother and father. You take that vow with the woman or the man that you believe God has brought into your life to join together until death parts you. Marriage is important because success or failure develops because of a good marriage or can happen because of a bad marriage. To lose your mate is one of the hardest things that you'll go through in life. We have had several widows in this church, still have several widows here, and they could tell you to lose their loved one brings lonely nights and difficulty in dealing with the loss, and they have to draw close to the Lord to get comfort to go through life now without their mate. We've had several people who get divorces, and that is like a death that you go through. It is a hardship. Whether you caused it or didn't cause it, it is still a hardship for you to go through and a hardship for children. Marriage is the most important relationship because what the Bible says, God created male and female in the beginning and joined them together and told them to leave mother and father and be joined as one. And remember, you choose who you marry. You didn't choose your parents. If I did, I'd have chose some rich people instead of the poor folks I grew up under, you know. Sharecropping cotton farmers, you know. You don't choose your brothers and sisters. You have to put up with them. They're always going to be your brother and sister. You know you're smarter than they are and probably better looking than they are, but you have to put up with them. They're still your brother and sister. You made no covenant or vow with them, but you did with your mate, your husband or your wife before God. You made a vow. Your marriage should come before everything else. It should come before your career. It should come before your children. I saw the other day, your marriage should come before your family, the old movie about the pride of the Yankees, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And Lou Gehrig loved his mother and his father, and they were very opposed to him playing baseball. They thought he was going to college to be an engineer, and he lied to them and went off and got on the baseball team. And when he got famous, they found out about it, you know. And eventually they worked it out because all the neighbors come over bragging about him, you know, so that was good. Then they accepted he was a baseball player. But then one day he brought a woman home. Her family had owned a big hot dog franchise for all the stadiums and all that sort of thing. She took an interest in him. He took an interest in her. He brought her home to introduce her to his family, and they were engaged. And his mother gave her no respect whatsoever. She was jealous. Her son, who would always hug her and say, "You're my best girl," now he's got a wife, and they're married. It took a while for her to warm up to his wife. That's not just Hollywood, friends. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. People want to control the lives of their children, or they want to keep them from somebody that they want to marry. God told Adam and Eve they were joined together to complete each other, to be a companion to one another, and then they were to populate the earth. They were to have children, and their children have children. There's a companionship in marriage and family. Usually you can count on your family when you can't count on other people. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They're an inheritance or gift to us from God, and we love them. We love them enough to die for them. When we love each other, we provide care. We provide understanding. My house, we got a couple extra acres of land, and my wife wanted to have a place where all of our kids could come, and can't get in a double-wide mobile home with 17 people, you know, and have a cookout and that kind of thing. So we had saved a little money. We're not retired. We're drawing Social Security now. And don't have a house payment or anything like that. Don't have a car payment. So we decided to do this. We spent $4,000 to have a concrete slab put in and earth around it to slope it off. And then we spent $13,000 to have a roof put over it. Nice, pretty blue siding on the roof and boxed in. And so it's... 13 and 4, $17,000 plus to build a 20 by 20 picnic shelter. And now our kids can come over. We can have a cookout. We can make homemade ice cream. We got enough tables and chairs for everybody. We can be together. We can be together all day. But you know what? Before night comes, they all go home. And then me and Mom have to walk back to the house together alone. It's the way it's supposed to be. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us, and his love moved him to sacrifice and die on the cross to pay for our sins. God made marriage to be good for us, good spiritually, to encourage one another and help motivate us to stay on the straight and narrow path. Good emotionally. It's good to be loved and supported by your loved one. It's good sexually. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every wife have her own husband. It is honorable before God. We have roles to fulfill in the marriage relationship as husbands and wives. There are duties that we are to do. We are to love one another. And we are to respect the role of the wife and mother and of the husband and father that God has placed them in. The husband is a man, and he's required to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that love motivated him to go to the cross and pay for our sins and provide for us eternal life. This love that he has for us and we are to have for him and we're to have as a husband and a wife is a matter of the will. Romance is fine in its place, but this love exceeds romance. It is a determination of the will to love that person with all the warts and wrinkles they've got. Doesn't make any difference when you love them sacrificially. It requires a death to selfishness. We can't have selfish desires in the marriage relationship. That'll cause trouble. It requires correct thinking based on the Bible, the Word of God. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. I like having favor with God, don't you? Knowing that you can pray and God will bless you and you are one of his favored ones, a chosen one. It's what you are as a Christian. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. As believers, we must continually confess our sins to the Lord and be cleansed just as often as we need to take a shower. In this weather, a fat man needs to take 2 showers a day. One in the morning and then one to wash off all the sweat at night before you get into bed. And we probably need to do the same thing with confessing our sins. Our minds wander, our eyes see things, and we are guilty of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we must confess that to the Lord. But what does our human nature want to do? It wants to hide our sin or blame someone else for it. Adam was created by God and had conversations with God. God said, Adam, did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to eat of? He said, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me, and I did eat. He blamed God for eating the tree of knowledge after God told him not to. The woman you gave me, she gave me, and I did eat. It's human nature for us to try to blame somebody else for all our problems. Well, we both need to learn to admit we are a part of the fault when we have disagreements or problems or troubles, and not be lording over the other person that you're perfect and they're the one that commits sin all the time. Do you know good homes are not built by people that never make a mistake? People who never make a mistake never do anything. Because if you do something, you're going to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, you can learn from your mistakes to be better after you have made mistakes. The prophets patiently endured waiting for the Lord. So let us pray for one another in the same principle of forgiveness and reconciliation as God taught that we are to have in the Lord's Prayer, that we are to pray for those who sin against us so that we can have our sins forgiven and draw close to the Lord. Turn the Bible with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse 1 through 10. The mature spiritual ones are to help those who make mistakes. Galatians 6 and verse... Let me get back in Galatians to Ephesians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting or life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The mature believer helps those taken in a fault to carry their load, to be taught and learn, to influence them not to quit doing what is right and to do what is good. You see, God made men to be leaders. He created Adam to be a king, but a king who served with tender, wise faithfulness, a king who was a servant, not a tyrant. He made him to be a warrior, but he was tender, not a brute. He made him to be a wise mentor, not a know-it-all. He made him to be a friend who is faithful, not a troublemaker, but a peacemaker. As we face trouble in life, which of these is our responsibility? What is required in the circumstance you're facing right now? Does your wife need a king or a warrior or a mentor or a friend? What does your daughter need right now? She may need a warrior dad to protect her from predators. A mentor dad to teach her. Which of your masculine qualities are needed with what you're going through in your life right now? Balance who you are and the strength God has given you to be the man God would have you to be. To be the woman that God would have you to be. Adam sinned. God said, "Where are you?" When God asks a question in the Bible, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It is to teach us something by the answer that comes. Adam was given an opportunity to confess his sin and be cleansed. Instead, he, did not deal with where he was before God. Where was the king in Adam when the serpent entered his home arena? Where was the warrior to fight off the serpent who was trying to destroy his family? Where was the mentor in Adam to guide his wife away from the temptations that were coming their way? Where was Adam the faithful friend to God who instead yielded to temptation and disobeyed God? Our Lord Jesus is the second Adam, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 through 47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a living spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So Jesus, as the second Adam, fulfilled the Father's will and was the perfect one to take our sins upon himself and provide redemption for all of the fallen man that followed Adam's sin and sin nature. The entire family suffers when the head of the family fails. If a man loses sight of God's plan for him and his family, he loses direction and perspective, and eventually he can lose hope and vision of what God has for him. He can waste or abuse his energies. This world lacks godly fathers in the home too often. And because of that, they suffer chaos. The children are raised without discipline, without example, without a prayer warrior, without a ruler king who is tender and compassionate and a mentor to teach them and lead them in the right way. God created man to be a ruler, to provide and keep the garden for God. He was to care for those that God placed in his trust, his wife and his children. God created man to be a warrior, to protect courageously, not to disobey. God created man to be a mentor to others, to teach and communicate, to be transparent to others of what God was doing in his life. God created man to be a friend, to connect with others. A friend loveth at all times. Iron sharpeneth iron, Proverbs 27:17. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. Ladies, you are the queen of the home. God said to Esther, through her relative encouraging her, "Who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And because of her, the nation of Israel was spared from destruction because the king had love for her and he extended to her to come to him, even though that was not allowed, just to walk up to the king. But she walked up and asked him, and he took care of things for her. Who knows, lady, but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this with your family and with your husband. Let us pray and stand on the word of God, the truths that we're taught, to live for the Lord and be an example to other people. And let's keep the home fires burning and stay close to the Lord. Father, bless your people today, I pray. Help us to learn from these simple truths of your word on how we are to live and what you expect of us. Bless these people that have gathered here today and those watching on live streaming, I pray. Meet our needs. Make our homes strong. Help us to have great love one for another. And it will meet needs we have in the way that we're made. So bless now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.